So today is Palm Sunday. I'm going to take this off because I'm warm. I don't know. The heat's on and I get a little warm. So Palm Sunday, I mean, have you ever really thought about that? It's a big day. I mean, we even have a stained glass window devoted to it. The upper right, the lower right on the there is Palm Sunday. You see the palms in front of Jerusalem walls. Why was it such a big deal? Why were the crowds lining up on the road? I kind of wonder about that sometimes, and I think, what if we were in the crowds? What would you hear? What do you think you would hear if you were in the crowds? I mean, I imagine it something like this. Did you hear who's coming? Did you hear? You hear about this guy Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth? Have you heard about that guy? He's crazy. He's awesome. Have you heard? Have you ever seen him? Have you ever seen him? You not? I have heard stories. I'm telling you. There's a time where he was on the side of the lake and he fed 5,000 people with just a little bit of food. And all of a sudden he was able to feed 5,000 people. Do you think he's the Messiah? Wait, what was that? He did it another time too? It's crazy. I don't know. Do you think it's fake news? I heard there was a storm going on and he spoke and it stopped. I heard he's healing people, all kinds of people. Have you heard that? Do you think he's the Messiah? Do you think he's the one? Did you hear what happened last week? One of his good friends, Lazarus, died. He was dead. He was buried. He was in the tomb. And all of a sudden, this Jesus from Nazareth showed up and he called him out and he came back from the dead. He'd been dead for 3 days. Can you imagine? I mean, they were telling him, roll the stone back. And Lazarus' sister even said, no, Lord, you don't want to do that. It'll smell bad. But they did it and Lazarus came out. I mean, he has to be the Messiah, right? Who else could he be? He caused a person to be raised from the dead. Isn't that awesome? I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like? They were so excited when Jesus came that day. Let me read that passage. It's John chapter 11, beginning of verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you and are going there, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk in at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up and quickly go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to Jesus and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Is it any wonder that the crowds were going crazy on that Palm Sunday? This man who had been dead and buried and in the grave, brought back to life. Wow, I love this story. So many things. There's so many lessons. There's 30 different sermons in here. I'm going to preach them all right now. No. I'm going to bring out a few lessons here that I catch. First of all, our timing is not always God's timing. God's timing is not always our timing. You know that story about Mary and Martha sending word to Jesus, "Hey, you're the one you love, Lazarus, is sick." And Jesus says, "Oh, yeah." Oh, man, if a pastor said that nowadays, he'd get fired so fast. The elders would be in his office the next Monday morning. Excuse me, we said that we needed you over here right now. We often ask the question, does God answer prayer? God always answers prayer. Do I get an amen? God always answers prayer. May not be the answer we want, but he always answers. You know, if a kid asks his parent, can I have an ice cream cone? The kid's friend doesn't say, did your parents answer your request? No, they said, did you get the ice cream cone? And the answer could be yes or no or wait. And that's exactly the way it is with God, right? We let our prayer requests be known to God, and God might say yes right away. God might say no, and God might say wait. Habakkuk 2:3 says, these things I plan won't happen right away. This is God speaking. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait for it. Darn it. We want things now. Lord, I want it now. And God says, no, my timing is not your timing. So that's my first lesson here. The second lesson, probably my favorite lesson in this story, Jesus wept. We all know this passage so well because it's one of those ones we memorized as a child to get points, a gold star for memorizing a verse. Jesus wept. I get a point. I get a gold star. Tom mentioned last week, he said that this was the shortest verse, and I just still hear my Greek professor saying, only in the English Bible. In the Greek Bible, it's the verse that says, rejoice always, but the Bible doesn't say why Jesus left, or wept. It doesn't say why, and I thank God for that. The fact is that we are emotional creatures. God has created us to have emotions. That is part of the image of God that is implanted in each human being because God has emotions. And this just shows us that Jesus Christ had emotions. He felt pain. He was disturbed in his spirit, this translation says. And he wept. I'm so glad he did. Aren't you? He felt the pain. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is with us. And sometimes I feel like we kind of take that to mean that he's just there and present and kind of hanging out while we're going through whatever we're going through. And when we're in a lot of pain, he's there and kind of puts a consoling hand on our shoulder or whatever. But the fact is that Jesus doesn't offer simply a shoulder to cry on. Jesus cries with us. Jesus weeps with us. When we feel the pain, Jesus feels the pain with us. We're not alone. He does not abandon us, but he's with us in our feelings and in our emotions. And I think that should be a great comfort to us. He's with us in our pain. That's not the end of the lesson, though, because he calls us to be with others in their pain as well. And not just to show up, not just to offer a shoulder to cry on, but to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Don't just show up. Stand with each other in our weeping. Stand with each other in our rejoicing. That's powerful stuff. That's what the Christian life and Christian family is supposed to be about. So, first lesson, our timing is not always God's timing. Second lesson, Jesus wept. Third lesson, for me, in many ways, we are Lazarus. Lazarus is us. Many of us are dead inside. Many of us have turned our backs on God. We live in our sheltered tombs. We feel comfortable there. We've been there for a while. We know what's there. We're no surprises, and we just like to stay here in our little castles made of stone. It's safe. We know it. I may not be living life to the fullest, but I'm okay. Sisters and brothers, Jesus calls us out of death and into life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus calls us into abundant life, not just existing, but abundance. And I'm not talking about the abundance we talk about today, the stuff. I'm not into that whole kind of theology, but abundance of life, experiencing life in a very powerful, meaningful way. We are Lazarus. And even those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and we feel like a newness of life and we've received eternal life, I think there's even times where we have little pockets of decay we just don't want to let go of, right? We just don't want to surrender that. Lord, you can come, you know, there's that old story, My Heart, God's Home. And it's all about how you invite Jesus Christ into your heart and you say, oh yeah, you can go into the dining room and you can go into the living room and you can even go into the bedrooms, but don't go into that closet over there because that's a mess. And that's kind of the way we are. We have this one little pocket that we just say, no, no, Lord, that's okay. It's kind of gross in there. Don't go in there. Don't mess with that. And that's exactly where God wants to go. Because God wants to clean us out. God wants to remove anything that's keeping us fully alive. And so God calls into those areas. I oftentimes refer to sin as a spiritual cancer. Well, God wants to remove that cancer completely from us. God wants us to experience fullness of life. So let Jesus call that sin out of you. The next lesson that I see is Jesus has power over death. You know, for many of us, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of scared of dying. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be like, oh, faithful and full of faith and all of those things, but it kind of scares me. I think everybody has a little fear of death. But remember, Jesus has power over it. Jesus can speak life over it. We've already talked about how he has power over creation. He has power over sickness and illnesses. He has power over demons. And here we hear about the fact that he has power over death. With a word, he speaks life back into people. If there's anything that we fear, it's death, but we can trust ourselves to Jesus Christ, the one who has power over it. And finally, the best lesson of all, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to invite Lazarus to come in right now and tell us for ourselves. Lazarus, come on in. How many of you looked? Where is he, right? He died. We don't have that reported in the Bible, but I'm pretty convinced, I'm going to go with it, that he is in fact dead. So even though Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, he still died again, a physical death. The fact is we're all terminal. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, great. Went to church and the pastor told me I was terminal. Thanks a lot. The Psalms teach us to number our days. Psalm 90 says, the days of our life are 70 years or perhaps 80 if we're strong. Well, some of you got that beat, right? You are strong. We got quite a few members here who are over 80. But the psalmist says, teach us to number our days. That's a reminder that we are all terminal. Why is that important for us to do? Because it focuses our attention on the eternal, not the temporal, on heaven, not just earth. Because you know what? We're going to spend a lot more time there than we are here. We're all terminal. We're all going to die someday. So how we spend the days here on earth determines how we will spend our days in eternity. If we live for Jesus here on earth, we'll live with him in eternity. If we live for ourselves, we'll live without him in eternity. So my challenge this morning, to remember, yes, we're all terminal. I don't know when I'll die. I could live another 40 years. I could die on the way home on the freeway. I just don't know. But death is not the final answer. One day, all of us will die. We'll be buried or cremated or whatever, but the question is, will we hear that voice calling from heaven, calling out your name, come forth? Don't let death be the final word in your life. Let Jesus have the final word. Are you ready? If you're not sure, please come and talk to me after the service. I would love to talk with you. I would love to pray with you. Open the door to life, both here, now, and forevermore.